Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be talking about a Christian Post article that went after Doug Wilson, Matt Walsh, Sean Davis, and Will Tanner specifically. And this is a pretty interesting case of Christian media promoting what is actually Doug Wilson derangement syndrome. I know I've had a lot of criticisms of Doug Wilson as of late, but this article goes after Doug Wilson for a point of his that I would very certainly agree with. And he's also irrelevant to the story. So it's very interesting to see a mainstream Christian media outlet attack Doug Wilson for like no reason because he's not relevant to the story that the article was written about and advance a feminist agenda. Because, let's face it, we're going to talk about the author in a second, but they are too afraid to stand up to feminism and the Me Too movement that is raging inside the church right now. So we're going to dive into that, but first I want you to know Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. You can support us over our patron-like system that is linked below. And also check out Winning Not Winsome, which is my book on 10 Commandments of Spiritual Warfare. That's on Amazon. Also linked in the description below. So this article is the one I wrote, but let me just say the least you can do, like this video and subscribe to the channel or podcast if you're new. That's the best way you can help out with these magical algorithms. So this is an article that I wrote, and it was a Christian Post that attacks Matt Walsh and Doug Wilson. So this article you would have gotten sooner if you're on the newsletter because I published it ahead of my own schedule, but nonetheless, we're going to talk about it anyway. So with that said, I peruse a lot of Christian media, especially in the written content, and there's a lot of cringe written on Christian Post, which is, they post more liberal articles than the Gospel Coalition, if we're just counting by volume. But this is an article written by Jennifer Greenberg, and before you can say every single time, I will just note that she's married, and that's probably her husband's last name. So just saying, just throwing that out there. But she is a rabid feminist and, she's one of those Church 2 advocates who really just wants to advance feminism in the church. And this article makes that very clear. She writes that the right has a misogyny problem. So what does Nancy Mace, who this article is about, it is primarily this article is defending Nancy Mace. What does that have to do with Doug Wilson? Did Doug Wilson say anything on this? No, not really. But nonetheless, she's going to take a shot at Doug Wilson. She's going to go after Matt Walsh first. But just to set up the context, she wrote this on Friday. And honestly, this didn't seem very timely for when it was published on Christian Post, and maybe it was curated. I don't really care to check out her own website, to be honest. So South Carolina Congresswoman Nancy Mace posted her college graduation photo in the picture. A beaming 22-year-old Mace is decked out in uniform, the first woman to graduate from the Corps of Cadets military program at the Citadel. And what's important to note is that she's the first woman to graduate from that program. And she did so as a civilian, just to be clear. But this was previously not a co-ed program. So this is something to keep in mind. So she celebrates her achievement as being the first woman to graduate from the Citadel, in their Corps of Cadet program. So that's what Nancy Mace is saying. And Greenberg says, instead of congratulating the congresswoman, numerous conservative influencers chose to mock and falsely accuse her. And that part's just clearly not true. They didn't falsely accuse her. Yeah, I believe that is worthy of derision. And I'm going to let them make the points before I make the points. So Sean Davis, CEO of the Federalist, pretty major outlet, said a key part of your personal identity is having invaded a male-only institution. And yet you're surprised at the desire of someone to invade female-only spaces. You're exactly right that delusional men cosplaying as women have no business whatsoever in women's bathrooms, but I find the lack of self-awareness and understanding of downstream effects of pretending to erase sex differences to be absolutely wild. So again, this is Sean Davis, who's very big in conservative writing, basically saying that Nancy Mace and the downstream effects of her going into male spaces leads to women's spaces being invaded by men. And again, that is a slippery slope argument, but the slippery slope is not a fallacy. It's just a logical reality. Whoever taught you that slippery slope fallacy is a thing was pretty stupid. Let's just be real. Because it is a very well meaningful argument, and we've lived through the slippery slope, especially on this issue. So the erosion of men's only spaces leads to the erosion of women's only spaces. Will Tanner, co-founder of the American Tribune, I'm not super familiar with him, I know the name but nothing about it, wrote, "It was the breaking down of gender barriers in the first place that allowed the trans insanity. If you want to end the man in a miniskirt issue, you have to roll back everything that led to this point." And that is absolutely right. And that means rolling back feminism too, by the way. Matt Walsh of the Daily Wire, who's probably the most based personality over at the Daily Wire. I also like Megan Basham, who just got a cancer went forward with her cancer diagnosis in the public square. So definitely be in prayer for her, because she's on our side. And she's not exactly a girl boss, because she writes occasionally articles while, you know, actually being a wife and a mother of older kids. So with that said, the girl boss, Matt Walsh says, "The girl boss feminism routine isn't just cringy, it also directly undermines our argument. The Citadel was male-only space forced by law to admit females in the name of diversity and inclusion. That is the exact argument for trans-identifying males to invade female spaces. Nancy Mace was literally the beneficiary of a DEI program. It's ridiculous to tone and tone-deaf thing to brag about in this moment." So, yes, that is basically the argument, that Nancy Mace was, you know, the beneficiary of a diversity program. She was the beneficiary of invading male spaces, but now when it's done to her, she cries wolf. So, then we have Greenberg accusing them of saying that Nancy Mace was the one who ultimately forced them to do this. But she forced her presence on in a male-only space, but she isn't the one who forced the male-only space to admit women. That's not what happened, but that is a straw man that is brought up here.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's. We help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
And then she would go on to say, so why are Walsh, Tanner, and Davis and others falsely accusing the congresswoman in this way? What do they mean when they say they want to roll back everything that led to this point? If this point is Mace being proud that she graduated from the Citadel, and if we roll back everything that led to it, women wouldn't be allowed to attend most colleges in the United States. So she goes on a rant about colleges being male only for a long time. It's not like there weren't female colleges back then either. But she defends Nancy Mace. Again, she didn't force them, but again, this wasn't the point. That's not, she's arguing against a straw man here about what Walsh actually said. The person who did bring, the person who did force this issue didn't finish the program, whereas Nancy Mace did. So that's kind of the story there. And then it kind of makes a point about Andrew Tate, because she's written about him in the past. So This is where it's pretty interesting. This is where the diatribe against Doug Wilson begins, and it does consume the rest of the article. So about a third of this article is a diatribe against Doug Wilson. For his part, Walsh has publicly discussed reading the works of Christian nationalist Pastor Doug Wilson. In one post, Walsh refers to an article Wilson wrote as having actually changed my perspective on a few things. Very insightful commentary. Known for his controversial stances on topics such as slavery, gender roles, and theology, Wilson commands heavy influence among right-leaning Christian men. He has promoted the idea that we should repeal the 19th Amendment, claiming that allowing women the right to vote, we were in fact taking it away from families. Again, what's wrong with that? Despite residing in Moscow, Idaho, Wilson is no small town yokel. He owns his own book publishing company, pastors a church, influences a vast online audience, and has been featured on the Daily Wire and Tucker Carlson's show. So I guess that's Daily Wire in writing, but not specifically not mentioning Matt Walsh's show. If Wilson is an influence among major conservative influencers such as Matt Walsh, we can expect to see more and more antagonism towards females in conservative spaces. So this is really a struggle session here in order to defend Nancy Mace, who's not a conservative whatsoever. This is someone who promotes sodomy. This is someone who probably promoted transgenderism until it was not cool to do so. This is someone who is pro-abortion. This is someone who goes to a woke church, Seacoast Church in South Carolina. This is someone who is shacking up and then broke up with their fiance, and she bragged about that at a prayer breakfast. She's not a conservative. She is a fraud. She is a poser. This is who Nancy Mace is. So this whole thing just ends up being a diatribe against Doug Wilson, which I find hilarious. So she continues, it is not a matter that women like Nancy Mace are on their side. It will not matter. She is fighting for conservative values. She's not actually. It will not matter that she's supported by President Trump. The root of their antagonism is their disdain for her gender. It has nothing to do with her ideas. She has none. Accomplishments? I don't think she has any. Or beliefs? She has none. It has nothing to do with logic, historical facts, or even politics. It's misogyny. Pure and simple. We can know this for certain when we consider the irrationality of their argument. A woman attending a previously all-male college is not remotely the same thing as a mentally unstable fetishist in drag trying to enter a women's bathroom. It's not the same thing, but it's not exactly an entirely different league. You know, it might not be the same ballpark, but it is the same sport. It is the same league. If we want to use the nice line from Pulp Fiction here. So that so concludes the struggle session, and that's really what this is. I'll just kind of read at what I kind of wrote at the end here. Jennifer Greenberg operates with the erroneous assumption that because Matt Walsh shares similar ideas on feminism to Doug Wilson, and that Doug Wilson is really influencing Matt Walsh in a way that's more puppet string pulling and stuff like that. In reality, Matt Walsh has a much larger platform than Doug Wilson and has always been one of the most right-wing voices at Daily Wire. And I would say that Matt Walsh has become more right-wing over the past few years. So he's going to come around on things like feminism naturally. And whatever role Doug Wilson plays in that, I think would have happened anyway, because there's a lot of people saying the same things, making the same observations about things like the 19th Amendment, things like the connection between feminism and homosexuality and also transgenderism, which is a homosexual fetish. So there's a lot of people making these observations, and she didn't specify what exactly Doug Wilson influenced Matt Walsh on, but I kind of don't think it was feminism, because Matt Walsh was relatively pretty decent on this issue already. So Greenberg's grandiose delusions about Doug Wilson's sinister influence on Conservative Inc. reveal a glaring lack of perspective. And this is Christian Post. They're publishing woke feminist nonsense that slanders multiple figures for the personal pet project of its author. So once again, I do a lot of calling out of Christian media and their corruption on this channel. And this is one of those issues where there is an editor, I think Richard Land would be his name, who should have said, no, we're not publishing you attacking Doug Wilson for something that he did not weigh in on. Like a third of that article, the climax of that article was an attack on Doug Wilson for not supporting feminism, because Greenberg is a feminist by trade, and that's her pet project. Nancy Mace, who's not a conservative hero, she's a fraud, she should get primaried, and, you know, Matt Walsh is a bigger name, as is Sean Davis. So there's some punching up going on, but ultimately this was meant to attack Doug Wilson for something that he had nothing to do with. At the end of the day, this is a woke struggle session for the cause of feminism, and no Christian outlet should be publishing this at all. So that's all I got to say about this for now. My name is Ray, the Evangelical Dark Web. If you like, do also subscribe. On your way out, have a blessed day. Stay based, Christ is King, and we will catch you on the next one.